From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. I am Chase Parham in the Clark Ford studio this morning. You're going to get, as you do on most Fridays, a recording of last night's live show from Funkies on the Oxford Square. Myself, Neil McCready, and Aaron Barrett, former Ole Miss pitcher, now with the Washington Nationals organization. Aaron had a couple really, really good years with the big club. Two gruesome injuries, fighting back from that. Had a really good season of rehab and has a chance to join the big league club in 2019. So come listen to us as we hang out last night. We talk about his journey. We talk about professional baseball, college baseball, just kind of athletes in general. Neil peppers him about Bryce Harper a little bit. So we have a good time at Funky's last night. So again, come and listen to that as we get started. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Let them take care of your tailgate this weekend. If you're coming in for Ole Miss in South Carolina, call them. Just stop by. Slabs of ribs, quart-sized sides there at the Oxford Exxon. You also can save money at the pump with the SpeedPass Plus app, with the mobile rewards as well, and the bottomless refill. So tons of ways to get nourishment and save money there with the Oxford Exxon. And we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio, where you just call Corey Clark at 662-257-1900. Tell him you need a quote. He gets that to you within 15 minutes during business hours. You can shop it around. You can take the quote. And when you're ready to buy, at the very end, after you've done all the negotiating, even though there's not much to do, tell them you heard about the podcast. When you do that, $500 off there with Clark Ford. And then our good friends at Blue Delta, they gave away the gift certificate, as they always do at Funky's on Thursday nights. Great jeans, great denim. They've got corduroy coming out for the winter months as well. And Neil and I have been talking about that. So stop in, give them a try. We promise it is worth it there with Blue Delta. So without further ado, let's get on with it. From last night, myself, Neil McCready, and Aaron Barrett.
Welcome to another week here at Funky's, the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Aaron Barrett joining us this week. Washington National, former Ole Miss Rebel. We'll talk a good bit of baseball. Tag kind of your story the last couple of years. Been fairly eventful in some different ways, so go through that. And more, I promise Neil will not badger him about Bryce Harper the entire show. Maybe just half the show, but anyway, as always, got a couple specials in the house. $2 domestics, $12 pepperoni pizza are the specials tonight. This will be up tomorrow morning as an Oxford Exxon podcast, all the places that you love podcast. It's been a pretty eventful day with Ole Miss, with the appeals decision and whatnot going on. We'll have Ross Bjork on a special podcast in the morning, so you'll get two podcasts tomorrow. Ross joining us around 9 a.m., so probably up around 10 in the morning. As you're aware of, Ole Miss gets the unofficial visitor restriction back. That was vacated. Still have the bowl ban, but that's where they are. And also, something I learned today, just quickly as we bring Aaron into the show, is they're going to have a chance to get the money back. We always talk about the $8 to $10 million they've lost with bowl revenue over these 2 years. Half of that will be returned if either over a 3 or a 5 year period. I'm not exactly sure. They don't have another NCAA case that goes into an escrow, and they will get that amount back. So another set of good news for Ole Miss. We wrote about it. Neil had a column today. Plenty of conversation at rebelgrove.com. But anyway, Aaron, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Will, as we always do, have a Blue Delta gift certificate to give you here in a little while. We'll have a trivia question for that one, and I have to start with this. They thank you for kind of like opening the door to the major leagues. What did you do for Blue Delta back in the day?
So it actually all started AJ and Claire Kiami. They're good friends of ours. AJ basically told us about this Blue Jean place opened up in Oxford, and I have a terrible time fitting in blue jeans myself. And so AJ originally introduced us, and it was here in Oxford, and I was like, yeah, you know, you just need to come down the spring training, you know, 1 year and just check it out. You know, I guarantee you there will be plenty of guys that will be on board, because if they're like myself, I just have a tough time finding jeans. Either too long, too small, you know, whatever. He's like, are you sure? And I was like, dude, I'm telling you, you're going to kill it. And so, because we have a lot of guys, suit guys, boot guys, you know, coming in quite frequently during spring training and during season, you know, hey, you know, come check out our stuff. So he comes down and, you know, immediately out of the gate, you know, he has a couple of pairs for me. Jonathan Papelbon bought, I think, 12 pairs of jeans. Mm-hmm. Tyler Moore, another Mississippi State guy, bought a couple pair. Ryan Zimmerman brought a couple pair, and I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, you're gonna watch. And next thing you know, he gets paired up with Mike, the boot guy, who makes custom boots. And next thing you know, he starts snowballing team after team after team. And you know, he texts me, hey, we just got in the Cubs, or hey, we just got in Oakland, you know, this and that. And now he's in every single MLB team, and every guy loves, obviously they're fantastic jeans, but you know, it's pretty cool to kind of get his foot in the door, and I'm just happy that, you know, that we're able to kind of you know, show how much success he's had and kind of be a part of that, and because it's just they're great people, and obviously they make a great product.
He said Lester has like 46 pair.
Yeah, Lester's is a guy that buys a lot of jeans.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of guys. I think Cespedes, you know, the Latin guys like them a little bit tighter. So that was a little bit different style that they were used to, but you know, they love it. I mean, it's pretty neat.
All right. So start here. We'll go through your story a little bit. How are you feeling? I mean, you had a pretty good rehab year, kind of coming back, trying to get back to the big league. So just sort of how are you right now? How's the arm feeling?
I'm healthy, and that's obviously the most important part. I haven't pitched in over 2.5 years. Just been on the rehab track. You know, had Tommy John in 2015, and then coming back from that a week before I went on my rehab assignment, I actually broke my arm.
Right.
So I got about 2 plates and 16 screws in my right arm right now. And I was finally able to get out on a rehab assignment and pitch this year. And it went really, really well. Like I said, I'm healthy, finished the year strong. And I actually, believe it or not, just signed a contract today to sign back with the Nats. And, you know, going to go to the big league camp and hopefully compete for a spot.
So, Aaron, I'm curious because about the hardware in your arm. I was reading a story about Gordon Hayward with the Celtics, who broke his leg and dislocated his ankle and all that. And he was talking about how during the rehab process, the hardware itself drove him crazy. And he finally got some of it removed after the bone had healed, and it helped him with his flexibility and stuff. When you're throwing, it sounds crazy, I know, but can you feel the hardware? Does your arm feel different?
It feels different in a sense of my arm is incapable of getting full extension like it used to. So based on the hardware that I have, I actually have less extension in my elbow than I ever did. But the hardware itself, I don't feel the hardware, and it's something that they actually recommend that it doesn't come out, because now that the bone is fused with the titanium that's in there, it's probably not a wise decision to take it out because it actually will make the bone weaker. But in my experience, I don't get any sensation on the hardware, but it's more the muscles and the tendons that surround it, since my body's still, you know, it's taken time to get used to it. You know, it's a foreign object, so it takes such a long time for your arm to get used to it. So I get different sensations, you know, that I've never, like, on the outside of my elbow here, there's a plate that actually goes past the joint, and since there's limited space on the outside of that joint, I get a lot of sensation on the outside of this forearm that obviously I never had before, but, you know, you just kind of have to roll with the punches and get through it.
So they're saying that you'll keep that in for the rest of your life, or when your pitching career is over, will you get
the plan is to keep it in there until I have an issue with it. So it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's bionic. So the plan is, you know, if it breaks with this stuff in it, you know, that's it for me. But I don't think that's going to happen.
So when you got into the major leagues, and I'm not sabotaging the interview, I'm going to let Chase handle it. I'm just curious. When you got into the major leagues, I remember when you broke in, you had a ton of success. And then, as Chase was telling me, I guess in your first 60 games in 15?
Yes.
You threw 30 of those 60 games. Was there anything, I know you're at that point you're young, it's the big leagues, every park's new, the whole deal, and you're trying to prove yourself and all of that stuff. But was there anything in the back of your mind that thought, man, I'm pitching way too much?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, I was, but at the same time, you know, I was kind of the young guy on the team. And when you're not an experienced reliever and you're trying to prove yourself that you can be the guy, the go-to guy day in on a day in, day out basis, you really don't have the luxury to necessarily say no. And, you know, I've always pride myself to be, you know, a healthy guy and take the ball every single day. But, you know, it's not only the appearances, you know, I pitched in 30 the first 60, but then you got to have to consider how many times you get hot off a mound and warm up. So I warmed up in probably another 15 of those. So I was hot off a mound probably about 45 out of the first 60 games.
That's insane.
It is, you know, but it is what it is. I mean, it's, you know, it is obviously a learning lesson, and it happens all the time. You know, so moving forward from that, you know, it's a learning lesson, and, you know, it's a lot of young guys. I'm able to obviously coach and talk to a lot of young minor league guys over the last couple of years. You know, you got to take care of your body, you got to take care of your arm. I think at one point it was a lot. And it did catch up to me, but you know, it happens. It happens all across baseball more than you think.
The Tommy John has become pretty normal, if you can call an injury normal. I mean, a lot of people have that. They come back with full success. But when you get back and you think, okay, I've been through this road. It's been the 12 months or whatever it is. And then you have this next bit where you literally break your arm. It does whatever it does. What's going through your head as soon as this happens? Because, I mean, that had to be the low point of, hey, I've succeeded. I've come back. And now not only are we starting all over, but starting all over in something that's fairly experimental at that point on how to get back to baseball.
Absolutely, yeah. And thank goodness for modern medicine, because I think if the injury that I had, if it would have happened 20 years ago, I think I'd be done with baseball, honestly. But, you know, the frustrating part was to be so close. It was a week before I went on my rehab assignment to be back in the big leagues. And so to be so close to where I wanted to be back, you know, pitching, obviously back in the big leagues, and then to have something, it was catastrophic, to be honest. You know, we had a couple guys puking in the dugout.
Really?
When it happened. That's how nasty it was. You know, and the surgery itself was pretty nuts. Dr. Andrews performed my surgery, and it was supposed to last around 2.5 hours, and the surgery lasted close to 5 hours because my bone was so hard that when he was screwing the screws into my bone, the screws and the drill bits were breaking off of my bone.
Oh, my God.
So they didn't understand. So they had to change the drill bit 16 times, one for each screw. So they didn't understand why, if my bone was that hard, how did I
break your arm?
Break it. So it's kind of it's still kind of a question mark of how and why it happened. I think, you know, I've talked to biomechanists, I've had my blood work sent in to bone specialists, this and that, everything, you name it. I think it was kind of a perfect storm of literally I put so much torque on my arm and it just the combination of things, and it just literally snapped right in half.
What are the phone calls that, I know you were in, I'm guessing, agonizing pain. What are the phone calls that you make in a moment like that? Because you've got people in your life that have been with you through the ups and the downs, and a major league debut, and then Tommy John, and you're thinking you're on your way to this, you know, redemption story, and then you have that kind of a setback. Who do you talk to in that moment, and what are those conversations like? And I'm not trying to get overly personal, but I'm just curious.
So obviously, I went in this immediate shock, and you know, our pitching coordinator was there, our rehab coordinator was there, who everyone is still in the organization, the Nationals organization still. And they were all there and watched it happen. And you know, obviously the first person, our pitching coordinator, called my wife. She immediately rushed, you know, there. And then my wife had to obviously make phone calls to, you know, my parents and my agent and this and that. And I mean, I couldn't physically talk because, you know, I was in so much pain. But the amount of support, so after everything settled and I had surgery and everything, but the amount of support that I had, not only from my wife, my family, my teammates, but like the Nationals organization, I mean, they were second to none in supporting me and doing everything that, you know, I've been with this organization since 2010. But they literally have treated me so well, and, you know, they signed me back and have rehabbed me and stuck through this whole process this entire time. And from top to bottom, the coaches, the players from the big leagues and the minor league side have been nothing but amazing. And, you know, it just kind of shows the lack of the commitment that they have to me to really see it through. And I think they believe, and I believe, that I'm going to make it back this year.
We take a break in this podcast to tell you that Christmas is right around the corner and Master Cuts wants to keep your home looking up to par through the holiday season. They offer a variety of outdoor Christmas decorations that will transform your house into a festive staple of the neighborhood. Everything from lighting and garland to inflatable characters. Whatever your vision may be, they will design a custom display unique to your home. The best part, all the decorations you pay for, you own them. Master Cuts will keep and store your decorations until they're ready to go up next year, or you can store them yourself. The option is yours. So start a tradition with your family now. Call Master Cuts for a free quote at 662-607-7773. Also, sometimes you just need to get away. Sound familiar? Well, Oxford is your type, whether it's a getaway with girlfriends, a romantic trip for two, a guy's retreat, or simply just because. Traveling to Oxford means you can enjoy the great escape at your own leisure and not leave vacation in need of another vacation. You can find the full calendar of events at www.visitoxfordms.com/events to see that. Double-decker bus tour today at 2 o'clock. It happens before all Ole Miss home football games on the Oxford Square. So enjoy Oxford. Get a tour there on the bus if you're in town. Plenty of restaurants. Some even not needing reservations for these game day weekend. So again, visit OxfordMS.com. Also, Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. Now, underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Leader in condo financing and the float down option. So you can contact Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704 or Jay Lowe at CommunityMTG.com. Also, last but not least, get that flu shot now. It's a Friday. Walk-ins are welcome at G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford. If you have a major insurance provider, it is free, if not $25, to take care of your health. Get rid of the flu before you get it with a flu shot from G&M Pharmacy. If you use them for all your pharmaceutical needs, they deliver local in the Oxford area and are conveniently located there on South Lamar. Now back to the show.
There was a video that I think I saw when you maybe your first time to throw off the mound, and it was at, I want to say, it's spring training extended, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
And there was a bunch of guys that were, you know, they were there and they were watching. I think you were just throwing in like a sim game, for lack of a better term. And it looked like a lot of the guys that were around kind of got emotional. They gave you an ovation and stuff. What was that like for you on not only throwing off the mound and getting through it physically, but this, all the support of your teammates, and what's going through your mind at that moment?
It was definitely an adrenaline rush. You know, that was my first game back since I had broken my arm. And, you know, one of the neat things that the Nationals organization does is when a guy has a serious surgery like that, they actually, after you throw your first pitch, I think this is the video, everyone stands up and claps as like kind of an accomplishment of, you know, you made it back, you were able to compete and pitch again. And so for me, I mean, I had to take a second step off the mound, and I was emotional.
I bet.
And our daughter at the time was, goodness, this was probably maybe 4 or 5 months old. And it's funny because I threw my pitch and everyone started clapping, and then it got completely silent, and then you just hear just wham, like cry, because it was so loud. And like I heard her and I was like, oh my goodness. And like, it was just such a cool moment for me. And you know, the amount, like I said, the amount of support has been tremendous. You know, obviously everyone wants me to, I mean, this is going to be one of the coolest comeback stories. And so it, for their support, I mean, it's been tremendous.
Your child was born during the playoffs where you try to find the positives to everything. But, I mean, had you been healthy, you wouldn't have been there for the birth of the child, obviously.
Absolutely. It was a pretty neat story. Yeah, it's – during this whole process, you obviously look at things in a different perspective. And obviously – being hurt sucks, but at the same time, you kind of have to look at the silver linings. And, you know, when you have the game of baseball taken away from you, obviously I've been able to look at things in a greater perspective. I was able to witness the birth of my first child, which was undeniably the greatest moment I've ever been around. But had I been healthy, I would have been in the playoffs, and I would have missed the entire thing. So having that perspective has really opened my eyes. And it was funny because Bryce actually hit, I think it was game two or game three, he hit a huge home run. And I just remember, but my wife was complaining all day long about how bad her stomach had hurt. And, you know, we're like, oh, maybe it's Braxton Hicks. And like her mom was like, Braxton Hicks don't hurt. And my wife was like, well, these hurt pretty bad. Yeah. And Bryce hit the home run, and literally an hour later, like we were in the hospital, and she was already, I think, 5 or 6 centimeters dilated, and we're like, yep, baby's coming tonight. So it might have sent her over the edge, which is kind of crazy.
As a quick aside, I want the record to show that so far, both Chase and Aaron have mentioned a certain person that I have not yet mentioned. Just want to point that out as we hit the... 17-minute mark in the podcast.
Where's it going to go, Aaron? I mean, let us know. What's up?
I already know. No, I'm just kidding. honestly, I know Bryce is a good friend of mine. And my wife and his wife are pretty good friends. I really have no idea, honestly. I would say 50-50. You know, obviously, we could use him back with Robles and Soto.
Yeah, you got Soto. And, you don't need him anymore.
And Eaton, but, you know... I really don't know. It's going to be an interesting offseason. I mean, it's hard to say where he's going to go. I really don't know. I mean, obviously, I hope he comes back, but I have no idea.
We see the physical, you know, the public persona, if you will. What's he like, though? I mean, in all seriousness, what is Bryce the guy outside the cameras?
He's a really good guy. You know, he's very to himself. You know, he's married now, and Kayla's is a really, really awesome person for him, and we just love them to death. If you would have asked me that question 5 years ago when we were coming up to the minor leagues, I probably would have told you something different. But he's awesome. I mean, he really is. He loves the game. He's super passionate. If you just watch him play, you know, you got to love his fire. He's just super competitive. And, you know, he really is a good guy, genuinely.
Well, not just about Bryce Harper, but Manny Machado, the big free agents. I know you and everybody else hopes to one day be in a spot like that. But for a guy like Harper, do you think it comes down to just money? Does it come down to me? Obviously, he's going to get generational wealth, whether it's in Philly or Washington or Chicago or New York or wherever. Or does it come down to... a fit, what he wants to do, where he wants to spend his career, how he can be marketed, that kind of thing. You know him fairly well, and you know the game extremely well. I mean, so how do you sort of think the decision-making process gets done?
Honestly, it's a little bit of both. Obviously, seeing it, being around it, knowing what guys want and knowing what I want, obviously. I think Bryce is obviously... he's a superstar, so he deserves superstar money. He wants to change the game, and so does Manny. And you know, Stanton did it. He got, you know, over 10 years, $300 million deal. I don't know how much he'll get, but he's the face of the game. So, in my opinion, baseball is making the most money that they ever have in this entire, since it's been in existence. And if you talk to a lot of players, I know, you know, you see how many players are making all this money. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, these guys are making so much money. How could you want more? Well, if you look at it in the perspective of how much the ownership is making and this and that, you know, these are things that fans don't really understand. So Bryce is going to try to change the game, and he deserves it. But you also have to understand, you know, he lives in Las Vegas. You know, family is obviously super important to him. He wants to be a franchise guy. You know, it just, there's a multiple factors that exist. You know, travel, you know, does he want to be close to home? Does he want to stay in D.C. because that's all he knows, D.C.? Obviously, money is a factor. I think it's a lot of factors that play into it. And at the end of the day, you just kind of have to go with your gut and go from there.
Chase and I talk about this all the time. There's never been a time when there's more great young players in the game. I mean, Bryce Harper's 26 years old. Manny Machado's 26 years old. We were joking around about Chris Bryant earlier. All the young players with the Red Sox that just won a title. All the
Mike Trout.
Yeah, Mike Trout's, what, 25 years old. All the Astros young players that are a year removed now from a title. Yet there aren't a lot of guys in your game that transcend the sport the way that maybe NBA players do, some NFL players do, some European soccer players that are known around the globe. Why do you think that is?
That's a great question. Honestly, I don't know. I think it's neat to see the youth of baseball really kind of shining. You know, we have a lot of great youth. You know, look at the Braves did this year. Look at, you know, Juan Soto did for us this year. You know, obviously, I think the goal of MLB is to try to – we're trying to attract a younger crowd. We're trying to get more youth involved. You know, but there's obviously – there's certain things that we're trying to work on. You know, pace of play is one of them. You know, obviously the playoff games last, you know, forever. The start times were, what, 8 o'clock on Eastern time? So kids are asleep by the time the heart of the game is really getting going. But it's a great question. I really don't know, but I just love the fact that youth is really kind of taking over the game, and it's really paying huge dividends.
Are you bothered at all as a player? I know I am as a fan. I mean, I love the game. I mean, we make Bryce Harper Cubs jokes and stuff, but I watch a lot of the game. I love the game. Are you bothered at all when you see World Series ratings between two storied franchises? I mean, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, two big markets. And the ratings are down, and the ratings are where they are. As a player, does that – it's not affecting your pocketbook necessarily at all, but just as a guy who grew up playing the game and loves the game, does that bother you at all?
I mean, it does, because I mean, baseball is such a fascinating game. I just think that people just don't have the attention span for it, especially the younger demographic. You know, for whatever reason, I think that what the Nashville Predators did, this was when they first started, I think they made it really, really great for that city of Nashville. So when the Nashville had their NHL team, they actually, the first couple of years, they actually broke it down. They gave fans like pamphlets of, you know, how the game of hockey is played, what's a power play. They basically, every single game, they basically broke down how do you play hockey, because Nashville's not a hockey city. You know, it's in the South. And I think, in my opinion, I think baseball should try to do some of that, because there's so many little things in the game of baseball that if you're a true fan, you pick up, you watch the game, you know, you look at the conversations the catcher's having with the pitcher. You look at, you know, what's the shortstop doing? He's signaling to the center fielder, you know, hey, the shift's on, or, you know, this and that. There's so many little things that you can pick up on. And if you're just a casual fan and you're just there to have a beer and enjoy a home run, which happens, you know, how not that often, you're going to miss a lot of little things in the game. So I think that trying to do that the way that Nashville did with the Predators, I think that is one option that you can try to get some of these new viewers to understand, you know, there's more than just a strikeout and a home run, which, you know, obviously those are up more than anything right now. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Take a quick break in this to do the Blue Delta trivia question for the week. Blue Delta offers a $200 gift certificate to the person that answers the trivia question first every single week here. I've got an Aaron Barrett themed trivia question for the show. So just write it on a napkin, tweet at me. I'd prefer a napkin because it's the easiest way for me to see it. The answer to this, so Aaron, as he mentioned, he met his wife Kendall here at Ole Miss. Give me the two schools that they both transferred from to get to Ole Miss. That's the question tonight. I've had more difficult ones. Don't worry. That's actually one of the easier ones we've had this season. So give me the two schools that he and his wife transferred from to get to Ole Miss. And Aaron, you were drafted, I think, four times. You're offered three contracts. I mean, the Nationals have really stuck with you. You mentioned that a second ago. In some ways, it just sort of worked out because you never know how another organization may have handled the injuries and the time off and different things had you taken another path to this point.
Yeah, the first time I actually got drafted was out of high school. Really wasn't it wasn't really worth signing anything. But in 2008, I actually got drafted by the Twins at the school that I won't tell you where I went. But I turned down a large sum of money to come to Ole Miss because, one, I knew my education was important and I wanted to get my degree. But, two, like, how could I pass down Oxford and Ole Miss and playing in the SEC? And I knew what my worth was. And I knew that the money that I turned down, if I pitch just as good in the SEC, I knew that I would receive that money in the draft the next year. Obviously, my junior year, I did not do very well at all. You probably remember that. I was a Friday night guy and got booted rather quickly. Caught some bad breaks, but, you know, it still was a great year. It got drafted, but I didn't money wasn't really there, so decided to come back for my senior year, and the national. I had a great year my senior year, and the Nationals took me in the ninth round. And kind of been there from the get go.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dead Soxy, deadsoxy.com. You got to try these socks; they're phenomenal. I've been wearing them since back in the summer. It's the best dress sock I've ever worn. But you should go try them. You have nothing to lose. If you try them, you don't like them, tell Dead Soxy you didn't like them. They'll send you your money back, and you can keep the sock. So go try them. If you don't love them, like I said, Dead Soxy will refund your money. See if they stay on. See if they stay soft. See if they're the best dress sock you've ever worn. They're made from bamboo. They're premium socks that stay up. Listen, the guys at Dead Soxy, they're not reinventing the wheel. They've just created a better mousetrap. Simple as that. They're Mississippi guys that grew up in Mississippi. They went to Ole Miss. It's a product-driven company. They are very serious about making the best dress sock you've ever worn. So go to deadsoxy.com, deadsoxy.com. It's a fantastic site. Great selection. Full-length socks, the no-show socks. So check them out. Make your order. Enter Rebel Grove in the promo code Rebel Grove at checkout. You'll save 25% off your order. And again, if you don't like them, they'll refund your money and you can keep the socks. This podcast, also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is based in Madison, Mississippi, but it represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. It's not what Pinnacle Trust does. They build a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's pinntrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. Podcast also brought to you by The Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul by visiting Soul Spots, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today. And then gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro right there in the Westin Jackson. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. The podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys or maybe the anniversary trip with your special someone, whether you've dreamed of playing St. Andrews or sitting at a cafe in Paris, you need to talk to John Edwards before you try to do it yourself. Be aware also that you can go ahead and get started on booking your spring break. In fact, you should, because space is filling up on cruises and resorts in Florida and the Caribbean, and guaranteed reserve tee times at golf courses in Scotland and Ireland for summer 2019 are becoming less available by the day. John's a part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. John traveled the globe for 37 years before getting into the travel business, so he knows the extra attention needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. So give him a call, 901-494-3387, or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off the first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
We already have an answer to the trivia question.
Oh, wow.
Aaron came in from Wabash Valley, I believe, is the answer there. And then your wife from Texas Tech.
That's
from,
correct.
Yeah, it was really quick. That was kind of weird there. But I promise I did not give the trivia question answer ahead of time. But, you know, you mentioned that in all seriousness. I mean, you're on the team as you watch Drew obviously have a lot of success and he gets drafted really high. I mean, you're not comparing yourself to him necessarily, but you probably are getting done with that first year going, hey, I've got to get better here because this is not what's gonna get me the signing bonus, get me the deal that I need for this to have been the right decision at this point, I would assume, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Drew is obviously, you know, big-time stud ever since he's been here. You know, he was pitching on Friday nights, and you know, when I came back from my senior year, that was obviously he was the Friday night guy, and I was the Saturday night guy. And so whenever he went out on Fridays, I was just trying to match what he did. And, you know, obviously seeing what Drew's doing in his career, you know, he's going to be a free agent this year. You know, he had a little bit of rocky year this year with battle some injuries, but won a World Series ring. And, I mean, we're just super happy for him. He couldn't be happy.
A couple guys that we've mentioned together, Bryce actually beat Drew by 1 point in the Golden Spikes thing back in 2010. But in I guess 2009, is that the best game you've ever seen throw?
The Western Kentucky.
Yeah, of course.
It's pretty dang good.
I mean, from a college standpoint,
in
all seriousness, 2 days rest. He does 105 pitches against Monmouth. He comes back two days rest, but 3 days later against Western Kentucky, 116 pitches, 16 strikeouts.
It was pretty dominant. I have a couple buddies that actually played at Western Kentucky, and when they faced him, like Wade Gaynor, I think, was their cleanup guy. And I talked to him a couple years later, and he was like, Drew was just nasty. I mean, it's just fun to watch. You know, when he had his all-star season out in San Diego, you know, I mean, kind of the same thing. I mean, it really was clicking for him. And, you know, when he's on, he's nasty.
I don't necessarily want to bring this up, but I guess I am. How do you kind of move on when you're a college player, that 2009 season happens the way it did, where you feel like you have it to get to Omaha, a team that can win the national title, frankly, at that point? What was that offseason like to just try to forget it, move on, and try to play the next season?
It was so long ago.
I know, but
no, it's kind of funny. I mean, it's almost been 10 years, which is kind of nuts. No, I mean, obviously that year, I mean, we had such a good group of guys. You know, the camaraderie was, and I was talking to Coach B earlier today. I was up at the gym working out, and, you know, what they've done with the new facility and the really incorporate, you know, camaraderie and, you know, being able to have everything there. I mean, that really plays a huge part of winning championships. And in 2009, we had a really, really good group of guys. But when obviously you have a heartbreaking loss like that, you know, you have no other choice but to move on. You know, you have to move on. You have no other choice.
Because I think if Biddle stays healthy, you win the national title.
Probably so.
I mean, I hate to be that guy, but I'm just saying, I mean, you know, he gets hurt against Georgia right there, and he was so good early in that season where you go, well, if you got that guy, you open Omaha, and it's Pomeranz against Renato the first night, and all of a sudden, here we go, you know?
Yeah, it's always fun to think about, certain things. And, you know, David Goforth was you know, he was pitching that eighth inning when, you know, the Virginia took the lead. But David signed back with the Nats this past year. So, and Cody Satterwhite was also with the Nats this past year. So we talked a lot of, you know, reminiscing the old days and, you know, this and that. And it's always fun. It's always fun to think, you know, but at the end of the day, you just got to move on because you can't change the past. You just got to focus on the present. So,
what did Ole Miss do for you? I mean, in all seriousness, from development standpoint, you pick them for a reason when you're coming out of junior college and different things. So, I mean, what was that era of your career from a development standpoint?
For me, I think the biggest thing from going from junior college to Ole Miss was, you know, I was more of a thrower in junior college, and still, even, you know, trying to find kind of who I was as a pitcher. And, you know, obviously having the struggles I did in my junior year, I wanted to have a lights out junior year, you know, get drafted high and this and that, but it just didn't happen for me. But at the end of the day, like I said, this all comes back to perspective. You know, when you go through certain times in your life, you have struggles, at the end of the day, it actually makes you a better person. So when I struggled in as a junior, you know, I had a choice of either being a good teammate or a bad teammate, and I just chose to be a good teammate, and we ended up, you know, winning the SEC. We're four outs away from going to Omaha, and, you know, coming to Ole Miss really helped me develop as a, not only as a player, but also as a person. You know, I was able to get my degree. I met my future wife here. She played soccer. You know, I eventually ended up getting engaged here, married here. Our daughter was baptized here. Like, this is a special place to our family. So Ole Miss is really, like, it will always have a place in our hearts, and it's been a tremendous opportunity to be able to come here.
Go ahead. Where are you physically now compared to pre-injury? I mean, what's the same, what's better, what's worse? Kind of where are you right now?
I would say the only thing that I'm lacking, you know, the one thing that I didn't get all the way back this year is my velocity. I got up to 92. I'm normally a 94, 95 guy, so I'm really, really close. I feel like some of the things that I did when I was healthy are more mechanically, but when you don't pitch for such a long time, you kind of have to. I was so focused on my arm getting healthy, you kind of lose what you're supposed to do as far as a mechanical standpoint. So being able to train this offseason, be healthy for the first time, do everything that I need to do, I think will really, really pay off and get, you know, my velocity all the way back. But other than that, I feel completely great.
What is Washington telling you about, you know, when you get to big league camp and things get started in the middle of February? Are they telling you, hey, just take your time? And in your mind, is it, I've got to establish myself right away? I mean, how do you balance the, you know, you had the injury and you're moving forward and with, you know, having a spring that you would, a normal spring if you had, were not coming off an injury where you're just, you know, you're targeting April 1st, if you will.
Well, so since this past year was a big step for me because I was able to, I was in a little bit of a controlled setting since I was pitching in the lower minor leagues, but it was a big goal for me because I was able to go two innings, throw back-to-back innings, you know, do a lot of things that would clear me, so to speak, from not being hurt. So now that I've done all those things, I know I'm healthy. I know that I can go in the camp, and if they need me to go back-to-back, I'll go back-to-back. If they need me to go two innings, like, I'm considered 100% a normal human being. So to be able to go in the camp this year and say, listen, I'm coming out guns blazing, I'm going to make this team, that's my goal. You know, I'm not holding anything back, and I'm going to be treated like a normal person.
Chase was asking about, you know, being a teammate with Drew Pomeranz here. In Washington, obviously, you're a teammate with Max Scherzer. That cat's amazing. What is it about him other than his physical gifts? Because obviously, you know, God blessed his right arm. Other than that, what is it about him that makes him so incredible?
He's the most competitive person that I've ever met. Yes, he's gifted physically. I mean, guys, as they age, are supposed to get worse. He actually gets better. You know,
that cat's crazy.
And I know, and I love it.
He and Justin Verlander are like, they defy Father Time.
I love it. Max is great. He, you know, if you're ever around him for 2 seconds, I mean, I think he played chess or checkers this year with one of our PR guys, and it was like the game was over in like 3 minutes. So the guy is ultra competitive. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, if I were to sit here and say, you know, we were going to compete in something,
Yahtzee, yeah, I mean, whatever. Yeah,
he's going to literally give it 190%, and he's going to, like, you know, if we're going to go over to the library and play darts, he's going to want to win. Like, it's all about having a good time, but then they're like, no, I'm going to win. I'm going to beat you. Like, and he's like that all the time. And that's what makes him great. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's awesome to see, and he's just a great teammate and great leader.
All right, I'm curious. I'm going to ask you a question, and there's no right or wrong answer. I'm curious whether you give the same answer. I told you, I took my son to the Cubs convention last year, and they had a pitcher's forum, and someone asked, it was Kyle Hendricks, CJ Edwards, and Tyler Chatwood, okay? They asked all of them, who's the one hitter in Major League Baseball that you dread facing, and also at the same time, who's the one hitter in Major League Baseball that you most want to get out? And all three of them named the exact same person. I'm curious who you would name if you were asked that question at the Nationals Pitching Forum.
Golly, I mean, personally, for me, this is kind of funny. A guy named Cody Ashe, who played for the Phillies, my entire minor league career, my big league career, I can't get him out. It's not a guy you would know, but I'm not kidding you. This guy rakes me. I mean, I literally cannot get him out. But a guy I would love to face, honestly, a guy I would love to face personally is Albert Pujols, because I grew up a Cardinals fan. I never got to face him. I struck out Mike Trout right before, and Pujols was on deck. And I really wanted to face Pujols, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah.
I struck out Mike Trout once, but then I woke up.
So Chris Bryant hit the farthest ball you've ever hit off of you? Is that right?
Yeah, you can look that up on YouTube, too.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah, it is.
So the answer that all the Cubs pitchers gave was Joey Votto.
Oh, okay.
They said it's impossible to get him out. They desperately want to get him out. What is it about Joey Votto? And I saw him several times this summer. He's amazing. What is it about him that makes him such a good hitter?
His just approach is really, really good. He doesn't give away any pitches. You know, he just has a really, really solid approach. Just a guy, you know, kind of like Jose Altuve. You know, he just a tough out. He's going to make it grind every single pitch. You know, just puts together really, really good at bats.
I ask you this question in the middle of it. Do you know when the ball's still in the air, you're in trouble, or does it take the sound of the bat? Like, where is it when the pitch is made that you go, oh my God, this is bad?
It's the sound of the bat, 100%. Like, I've given up 2 home runs in the big leagues. One was to Manny Machado, and you know, I didn't think he got it, but then the other one was to Chris Bryant.
He got it.
That's not a terrible list of players to give up a home run to.
It's not like Cody Ashe here. I mean,
yeah, I know. You can look it up on YouTube. You can look up Chris Bryant hits ball off scoreboard, and it's
oh, it was at Wrigley.
So funny story. So I give up that home run, and it's arguably easily the furthest ball I have ever given up. And I'm upset about it, whatever. I think we end up winning that game, but Matt Thornton is one of our older lefty reliever veteran. We always have a veteran get on the microphone on the bus. So we pull up to the airport, Chicago, and it's like 45 minutes away from the stadium. And he gets on the mic, and he's like, and to your left, you can see the ball that Chris Bryant hit. And I just like, oh, my God. Like, I mean, it was just hilarious.
If you're going to give one up, though, wouldn't you rather give one up off the scoreboard than one that gets into the basket?
100%. Like, if I'm going to give up a home run, I want it to be an absolute bomb. Like, yeah. Like I said, the one I gave at the Machado was like a low and away slider, barely got over. I'm like, come on. But if I'm going to give up one, I want it to be crushed.
Yeah, that's what I would be like, too. I just tip my hat. You got me.
Yeah,
good 100%. For you. Yeah.
It's 162 games. How do the Nationals go about breaking the monotony and trying to make it, you know, somewhat manageable from a day-to-day standpoint?
Yeah, that's where the clubhouse comes in, you know, having a good group of guys, camaraderie, you know, being able to – we're in there all the time. So being able to hang out, let loose, I mean, you're – I'm with my teammates longer than I am my actual family. So being able to play card games and just keep it loose, you know, try not to fret over if we, obviously we win, you know, you want to obviously ride the high of the win, but if you lose, so what? We got to play tomorrow. You know what I mean? So obviously being able to kind of, you don't want to be a roller coaster ride. You don't want to go high and low. You kind of want to stay even keel the whole season. And obviously, if you can, the goal is to have more wins than losses each month. And you break it down, you'll be in a good spot by the end of the year.
The Oxford Exxon podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today at Grenada Nissan. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. At rebelgrove.com, you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. He'll take care of the rest. And the podcast is brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. OUB is also offering one-year CDs at 1.75% APY. They're offering three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the podcast is brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. Megan is the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website, meganmphillips.com. It's MEAGANMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-602. 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. Ole Miss volleyball in town this weekend. Stephen McRoberts' team playing host to Tennessee at the Gillum Center, 6:30 on Friday. Admission is free. For more information, olemisssports.com. The Ole Miss women's and men's basketball teams will be in action on Friday as well. The women's team open up the exhibition season, if you will. They face Lemoyne Owen at 3 p.m. at the Pavilion at Ole Miss. For more information, it's olemisssports.com. The men play at 6 against Fayetteville State out of North Carolina. That is the one and only exhibition game for Ole Miss in men's action as well. The regular season begins on November the 10th against Western Michigan. You can get a Rebel Flex Pass for $199 to all 16 men's home games. It's $199. OleMissTix.com for more information. And a women's season ticket, Coach Yo and her team, you can get that for $50 by visiting OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
Does clubhouse mood change depending on winning and losing and different things as far as the streaks?
Yeah, I mean, it can. But that's where the veterans are really, you know, when I was up, our veteran leadership, Jason Worth, Ian Desmond, Adam LaRoche, you know, our bullpen, you know, Tyler Clippard and Drew Storen and Craig Stam and guys like that. I mean, we had such good leadership that, you know, they really paved the way. And it's still like that now. You know, so that having those type of leaders, you know, showing the young guys, you know, how to be a professional is what it's all about.
What's the amenity you miss the most when you had to do the minor league thing as opposed to the major league thing?
Flights.
It's flights?
Yeah, 100%.
The private thing?
Yeah.
What's the minor league thing like?
Bus, 12-hour bus rides.
No matter what level?
You get on some flights in AAA, but, I mean, obviously getting on a flight and having a few cocktails.
You can be like back of the bus Crash Davis at this point, though, can't you? Like, hey, I've been on the flights. I've seen the deal.
I did get my own seat.
Did you?
Well, yeah, because the rule is if you have big league time, you get your own seat on the bus. That's just a easy rule. Yeah, but. It's fun.
That doesn't help a 12-hour ride, though, does it?
No, I actually, veteran move, I actually bought a $12 air mattress at Walmart and put it on the bottom of the bus and blew it up. And the new draft guys, new minor league guys, like, I never would have thought of that. I'm like, yeah, I've been playing for...
I've been here before.
I've done this a couple times.
Who's the best college hitter you ever faced?
Shoot. Probably... Zach Cox from Arkansas.
Okay.
He's really, really good. Kent Mathis, remember him?
I remember hitting a ball off Buckvich that went over the tree in left field.
I think it went through
over
through
toward
the
like the band hall back there.
Yeah, I think it went through that tree.
Yeah, it's the farthest ball I've ever seen hit at Swayze Field was Kent Mathis.
Myself, Tim Ferguson, Mort, and Matt Tracy, we actually talked about it probably actually a few weeks ago. We said that I think that there's a hole in that tree from that ball. He was really good.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
He hits that ball and everybody stops and goes, oh, my God.
He was really good.
Because he hit the farthest one to left field. Pedro Alvarez hit one over the batter's eye, kind of in that area right there to the right of it. But Mathis probably the ball that went the farthest, I could think.
Yeah, there's some pretty good hitters, obviously, in SEC. I mean, those are just like the two off the top of my head that were really, really good.
That's fair. I was just trying to figure it out.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm making you remember things 8, 9 years ago at this point. It's been a bit of a deal. But as you're kind of getting to this point, you're getting back, everything's hopefully coming full circle for you at this point with the Major League standpoint. I mean, do you look at some of the injuries and different things? I hate to be too cliche here, but I mean, was there some growth and some different things that you were able to kind of find out about yourself during this process?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's all about perspective. You know, I think coming back now, I've obviously learned a lot more about myself. You know, being a husband, being a father. You know, when you, a lot of people never thought that I would even throw a baseball again. So to be able to do what I'm doing now is obviously a tremendous blessing. But you know, I think I've learned a lot about myself, and obviously even on the physical and mental standpoint, you know, if I can do this, I can literally do anything. You know, I truly have that mindset. And I'm really excited for this year. And I, like I said, it's going to be an amazing comeback story. And I'm excited.
Let's play some football games. We'll finish up. You can be our guest picker for the week. South Carolina and Ole Miss to start it off. 11 a.m. SEC Network for this one. South Carolina, a one-point favorite after Ole Miss was a 2.5-point favorite to start the week. What are you feeling about the Rebels and the Gamecocks this week?
I'm going Rebs. I mean, it's going to be bad, though, because the last 3 years, I'm hoping to turn the jinx. The last 3 years, my wife and I, and we've had this reunion. I went to the Florida State game in Orlando, and they were up big. We lost that game. Went to the Arkansas game, where they went to 3 overtimes. We lost that game. And went to the Auburn game when Treadwell broke his ankle.
Oh.
We were at that game. Lost that game. So we're at this game.
So and, I should pick South Carolina this week.
No,
the Gamecocks minus one. I feel good about this one.
Ole Miss, 100%.
Neil, you're picking South Carolina this week?
Yeah, I'm going with South Carolina. No. I kind of feel like I know what I've seen.
Fair enough. Number 25, Texas A&M plus 5.5 at Auburn, 11 A&M. ESPN for this one. The Aggies and the Tigers, and the Aggies are getting 5.5 points.
Really? At Auburn?
Yeah, at Auburn. What do you think?
I'm going Auburn.
You going Auburn to cover the 5.5?
I'm going Auburn.
Neil?
Yeah, I don't know why. Texas A&M did not look ready to win a big SEC road game last week in Starkville, and so Auburn's had a week off. It's a must-win game for Auburn. I guess they find a way to barely cover.
I didn't like Jared Stidham in Oxford at all. I thought he made a couple plays there in the second half. But Kellen Mond can run it a little bit. I think it stays close enough that I'd rather have the points than the home team
with this
one
right.
than with Texas A&M. So, number 6, Georgia, minus 9.5. This one's for the SEC East. The winner goes to the SEC Championship game. Georgia and number 11, Kentucky, 2:30 CBS for this one. Again, Georgia giving 9.5. What do you got, Aaron?
I live in Atlanta. My wife grew up a dog fan.
Really?
My father-in-law, George, is a dog guy. You know, hopefully he wears his red shirt this time. I'm going dogs.
This feels like a beatdown. I think Georgia absolutely kills them.
I do, too. Kentucky can't score. Missouri went 0-for-8. In the second half, 3 and outs, and gave up a punt return for a touchdown, and it still came down to an untimed play. I don't see it. I'd love for Kentucky to win. I'd love to be wrong, but it kind of feels like Cinderella's run out of time.
So Neil always loses at Neil's picks here. So he throws in extra games.
Oh, my God.
He
here comes the whining.
He does things non-SEC. So because of that, we have here
bless
number 19,
your sweet heart.
Iowa against Purdue at 2:30 on ESPN.
Don't you feel sorry for him, Aaron? He's going to have to pick another game.
Yeah.
Poor Chase Parham's going to have to pick a game that's not in the SEC. First world problems. Get over yourself.
Number 19, Iowa, plus 3 at Purdue this weekend.
I'm from Indiana. I'm going Purdue, but my brother-in-law played at Purdue. Played football at Purdue, so I'm going Purdue.
I like Iowa getting the points.
I think Purdue at home, it has some karma. I mean, I'm kind of become an Iowa fan for no reason whatsoever, but I think Purdue has karma at home.
Did Purdue recruit you?
No.
Really?
No.
How in the heck did Purdue not recruit you?
I don't know.
Really?
No.
Even out of JUCO, what happened?
I went to a camp there out of high school, but no.
No wonder they suck most of the time. Number 12, West Virginia, plus 2. At number 15, Texas, 2:30 on Fox for this one. We got the Mountaineers, who I really like. I think Texas is still a year away from really competing. I like West Virginia getting the 2 points.
I'm only going to pick West Virginia just because I played at West Virginia, and I'm a huge fan of Take Me Home. I really haven't seen West Virginia play that much this year, but I'll take West Virginia.
Morgantown's a sneaky, underrated town.
It really is. It is. Sneaky.
They're better at home than they are on the road. And Texas, I know this is, I mean, really analytical stuff. Texas is better at home than it is on the road. I'm going to, as much as I don't like them, I'm going to go with the Horns.
Missouri plus 6 this weekend at number 13, Florida. 3 p.m. SEC Network for this one. I think Florida wins by at least a touchdown. I got the Gators at home, Aaron.
Agree.
Missouri?
No.
Oh, Gators?
Gators.
Okay, fair enough.
Gators. Missouri, they're not getting over that loss.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah, that's a bad loss.
Okay. UNC Charlotte plus 21 at Tennessee, 3 p.m. SEC Network alternate. No one really cares about this, but Tennessee can't score points, so I'll take the points just because I get 3 touchdowns worth of them.
That's actually not, I mean... I'm going to go Tennessee. Whatever.
Are you?
Yeah,
really?
Why not?
Yeah, I'm laying points.
Are you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
They can't score.
Yeah, they're going to score on Charlotte. They scored on South Carolina. They scored on Auburn. No one scores on Alabama. That doesn't count.
Fair enough.
Alabama game doesn't count for everybody.
Okay,
just throw it out.
Number 3, Notre Dame, minus 8 at Northwestern. Another one of Neil McCready's net games, as he is a he's a pseudo-Chicago fan, so we get Northwestern games some weeks for this. Notre Dame minus 8 at Northwestern in Evanston, Illinois.
Northwestern is sneaky sometimes.
Yep.
And it's at home. I'm going Northwestern.
I'm staying same thing.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame wins, but I think it's super close and Northwestern covers that line.
Louisiana Tech plus 21 at number 21, Mississippi State, 6:30. SEC Network for this one. I think State rolls them. I think they win by more than 3 touchdowns.
I'm just going to take Louisiana Tech just because I'll never take Mississippi State.
Because you get the points and
yeah.
You don't have to take State.
So, sorry.
Fair enough.
I'm waffling on this one. I had Tech covering the line, but I've gone back and looked at some numbers, and State rolls against teams like that. They get so many rushing yards that I'm starting to think about laying all the points.
This CBS game of the week, they're doing the nighttime game, the doubleheader, number 1 Alabama, giving 14 points against number 4 LSU, 7 p.m. CBS, tied
blowout.
By 14 in this one.
As much as I would love LSU, I hate LSU, but as much as I would love LSU to pull off an upset, I just think Alabama's literally too good.
Same thing.
Yep. Blowout.
What's the best baseball road atmosphere?
Road?
Yeah.
LSU.
Is it LSU?
Yeah, because their fans are pretty ruthless.
Okay, fair enough. You've been calling some things over there?
Are you talking about an SEC?
Yeah.
LSU, hands down.
Okay. What have you been called?
Well, Mississippi State is kind of brutal too, but because it's State.
Okay.
But LSU, yeah, I mean, they pulled up stuff from Facebook and just talked about my mom. And, I mean, come on.
Fair enough.
They're pretty brutal.
Last game, we're going NFL here as well. Los Angeles Rams plus 1, getting a point at the New Orleans Saints, 3:25 on Fox on Sunday. The 8-0 Rams and the 6-1 Saints.
You're doing football in here?
Yeah.
NFL?
Yeah.
I really don't follow the NFL that much, but I'll go with New Orleans. Why not?
I think the Saints win, but this is all about a chance to steal a game. It's all psychological warfare.
I'm a diehard Saints fan. He knows I won't pick them to win. I'll pick against them every time as an emotional hedge. So McCrady's trying to pick a game up here.
I think the Saints will win, and I think because of all the thinking he's going to do, he's going to pick the Rams, and I'm going to pick up a game.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pick the Rams by 40 in this one. They are going to win in New Orleans on Sunday afternoon. So when do you I guess what's reporting, what's kind of the next month for you as we finish up here, Aaron? What's going on?
I'm just training right now. I'll be going down spring training first week of February and literally just going to enjoy the off season. Got a couple of trips, here and there. I'm going to enjoy this weekend. Hopefully we can pull out a win. But, that's about it. First February.
Okay. Well, appreciate him coming along tonight. Back next week before Ole Miss and Texas A&M is next week.
Yes.
So back here at Funky's, appreciate everybody coming out. Appreciate Aaron, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for having me.